Well, let us go to the word of the Lord now. We'll turn in our Bibles to Luke, Gospel of Luke chapter 12. And we'll be reading in verses 35 through 59. It's the last half of the chapter, Luke chapter 12. And verses 35 through 59. And we'll begin reading in verse 35 of Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 35. We'll hear now the living and true words of our living and true God. Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them. Whether he comes in the second watch or even in the third and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. You too, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Peter said, Lord, are you addressing this parable to us or to everyone else as well? And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and sensible steward whom his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that slave says in his heart, my master will be a long time in coming, and begins to beat the slaves, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. And that slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in accord with his will receive many lashes. But the one who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of a flogging will receive but a few. From everyone who has been given much, much will be required, and to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more. I have come to cast fire upon the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to grant peace on earth? I tell you, no, but rather division. For from now on, five members in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. And he was also saying to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, a shower is coming, and so it turns out. And when you see a south wind blowing, you say, it will be a hot day, and it turns out that way. You hypocrites, you know how to analyze the appearance of the earth and the sky, but why do you not analyze this present time? And why do you not even on your own initiative judge what is right? For while you are going with your opponent to appear before the magistrate, on your way there, make an effort to settle with him, so that he may not drag you before the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I say to you, you will not get out of there until you have paid the very last cent. And that is the word of the Lord. So we see at the beginning of the passage we read, starting in verse 35 through verse 48, we see that Christ is working to stir up his disciples in their need to be watchful in their master's coming. And in what we heard this morning in Sabbath school, that zeal that we need to have because Christ is going to come soon, he says. He promised in the end of Revelation. And even As we'll hear next Lord's Day in Peter, the end of all things is near. And so serve the Lord now and be ready for His coming. Christian, you've been given much, he says. Much is required of you in this short time that you have until Christ returns again or you are sent to be with Him forever. And then through verse 53, just like we've been learning from Peter, that if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can expect trouble to come your way. There'll be hostility and enmity between relationships that you have with other people, especially, of course, with those of the world. You can expect persecution and even trouble and hostility within your own family. And he goes into detail about that. For many in the family will not call upon the Lord. And there will be many in the family who will call upon the Lord and believe unto salvation. And because of that, there will come a hostility between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, as was promised in Genesis 3:15. And then finally, through the end of the passage, he warns the people to observe how they have been living as hypocrites and to consider the time, or consider the times, and come to Christ. Return to Christ for life from their sin before the time is too late. And all of you here are called, whether the oldest or the youngest, you're all called because the end is near, much closer than you expect. You don't know when Christ will return, and yet He will return soon. If you have not come to Christ, you'll be damned to an eternity of death. And so you're called here to come now and be saved unto eternal life. You can have life forever if you would come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It will mean a great struggle in this life, hostility that will come towards you, to you, from the outside world. But as we've been learning in 1 Peter, that's a great thing to have. Because the worst that can happen is that you'll be delivered into the very presence of God, and you won't have to deal with the sin of this world any longer, the pains that we feel here in our bodies. And so come now to Christ. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we come now to You through Your Son. Because You have given all for us in Your Son and His sacrifice on the cross, and of course His life on the earth before that, and His perfect righteous life lived for us. And we have that, as we have believed, that substitutionary atonement, where we receive the perfect life and righteousness of Christ, and He, for us, receives that perfect justice, that perfect death that needed to be paid, as in His sacrifice on the cross, when the full unmitigated wrath from You, Father, came down upon Him. And He cried out, my God, why have You forsaken Me? But we're thankful that on that cross, the last thing He cried is, it is finished. That the debt has been paid, once for all sins, the just for the unjust. And so, Father, we praise You in Christ Jesus, Your Son. Father, we know in the many of our families, most of our families, there is hostility. And we might not always see it, but there are many where there is division. There's not reconciliation, there's division between sons and daughters and fathers and mothers. And mother-in-laws and father-in-laws with their daughter-in-laws and son-in-laws. We see that division, not always clearly, sometimes there are niceties that happen between us, but down in their hearts and in the roots of who they are, totally depraved and children of the devil, their father, who is the father of lies, there is an enmity or hostility towards us, your people. Knowing that, Father, we pray that you would give us a love, the same love that Christ showed towards us, in as much as we're able to do so, that we would be able to love those in our family, that you would give us that zeal, as we heard this morning in Sabbath school, to tell and to minister and serve even those who hate us, even those we know who are at enmity with us. Father, may we be hospitable and show that Christ-like love towards them, that they may see our good works and give glory to you, the Father in heaven. Father, we pray for our children. We pray that our children would come unto you, and that we would not hold them back like the disciples tried to do with those children who came to Jesus. We pray that we would be often in serving them and ministering the gospel to them, sacrificing ourselves for them, showing that love that Christ had for us. That they would believe the gospel and the salvation, and that they would love you above all other things, above the things of this world, the toys and the their selfish wants that we often see children have. Father, if we examine ourselves, we would find ourselves to be hypocrites in many areas. We pray that you would turn us from our sins, you would cleanse us of all unrighteousness, as you promise you will do. We are assured that you are a God who is our advocate in Christ, who is the righteous one, who pleads for us. And Father, we still need his pleadings. We need his pleadings, your son's pleadings, every moment of every day. Even when we enter into glory, we will need the pleadings of your son for us. For we are still not holy enough. We are not perfect enough even there. Though we have, at that time, had sin removed from us. We'll still need your Holy Spirit then, and so how much more now, to strengthen us to worship you and to move us to continually live holy and righteous lives there in eternity. Because without the Holy Spirit, we would sin. We're thankful that you, in that time, we won't be able to quench the Spirit. We won't be able to sin because the Holy Spirit will be constantly in working in us. And you'll have changed our desires and our minds and our hearts and cleansed them fully of the sin that remained and that remains now in this life. Father, we hope in heaven. We hope in the full coming to be with your Son forever. We have a glimpse of it now in your worship here on this earth. We pray that we would be right in accord with your word, just as we hear often in Exodus, we have heard, that we would do just so as your word commands us. Because doing just so will give us that best picture of what eternity and worship will be like with you. Lord, we pray that you would heal our diseases, heal our sicknesses, heal any cancer that we might have, heal our bones and our muscles. Give us rest in you this day. We pray these things in Jesus' name, your Son. Amen.